Chapter number four. I'm going to start there. We are going through 21 different mindsets that I believe lead to optimum mental health. And I think that the Word of God is good like a medicine. I think it helps us. I think it heals us. I think it keeps us in the right frame of mind. I'm not going to go back and reintroduce this every time. Just to say this in summary, humanism has destroyed the mental health of America. Yep. Humanism has destroyed the mental health. The optimism of our young people, suicide is skyrocketing. And you know what? You can watch it rise as it coincides with less Bible in our young people's training and more humanism in their training. It's inarguable. Nobody wants to admit it. Nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants everybody wants to, again, problem identifier, problem solver. Everybody's screaming about the problems. But when a preacher, I talked to a guy this week. I was on door-to-door. That's not true. A week ago. But I was on door-to-door visitation. I had a guy come to the door, and he started bemoaning the fact of where the culture is. And you know what? I'm a Baptist preacher. And he said, I don't know what in the world is going on, preacher. I don't even know what in the world. I don't hardly recognize it. What has gotten into people? I mean, the wanton taking of life and the violence and the things that I'm watching. He said, what in the world? And I said, I'm going to give you a very simple answer to that. We stopped taking our kids to Sunday school. Yeah. Come on. We stopped taking our kids to Sunday school. I said, kids don't know the Ten Commandments. You know, one of them is thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. And, you know, he kind of wanted to push back on that a little bit because he don't go to church. And, you know, everybody wants, again, everything fixed. But when somebody states the problem, I said, do you realize if we just... I don't think you have to be overly religious to be a decent human being. I said, do you realize... I'm not talking about overly religious. I'm talking about the Ten Commandments. And, you know, again, the world is sitting there wringing their hands, but when somebody knocks on their door and says, hey, instead of complaining about it, why don't you come to church and be part of the solution? Well, I don't know about that. Well, then don't expect a change. And so thank God again for running these buses. What are we doing? We're trying to get a whole group of young people that, if it wasn't for the bus ministry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, would not be sitting in Sunday school learning the principles and precepts of the Bible. And learning, listen, that's what it's going to take. And so so we have this idea, and we talked about it. I'm done with the first mindset. Mutative mistake or divine design? Okay, am I a mistake, a result of natural selection, a result of evolution? Am I just an animal? Yeah, the most advanced animal, but just an animal. Is that what I am? Or did God create me specifically and specially and have for me a divine purpose? That's two completely different ways of viewing life. Completely different ways of viewing life. And also affects you to the very core of how you feel about yourself, what becomes important, what is not important. And so we had to start there with the very existence of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How about this mindset? Temporary or eternal? Temporary or eternal? In James chapter number 4, we see in verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, and bless our time here together. Lord, thank you that this is not all there is. Thank you, Lord, that it is not just three score and ten, and then nothingness afterwards. Lord, thank you for eternity. Thank you that you placed within each of us an eternal, never dying soul. And Lord, help us to understand, dear God, the difference between these two mindsets, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I'll let you in on something, okay? Tonight, we're, of course, going to have our anniversary service, and I'm so excited about this. 49th anniversary, and I wanted to do something special. It's easy to almost back off and not do much of anything because we're putting so much planning into the 50th. But when I went and saw Jerry Purcell this last week, I asked him if he'd be willing to come to our 49th anniversary service. And Jerry Purcell is the man, him and his wife, that invited me and my mom and dad and our family to church. And I know God saved them, and I know it was a work of grace. But from a human standpoint, God used them. I told him about the launching of our third church plant. And I told him, I said, you know, you think about it, when you looked across the street and saw a lost neighbors, you had no idea that Bob Ross would end up being a preacher. You had no idea that he would found the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You had no idea that that church would then start three other churches. And so, you know, you think about it, folks, it went all the way back to somebody who looked across the street and said, I'm going to invite my neighbors to church, you know. And so he's in his 80s and walks with a walker, but he got so excited. I called his son Jerry. So it's Jerry Purcell and Jerry Jr. And Jerry and his wife are going to bring their dad to church tonight. And then he called his brother Jimmy. And Jimmy and his wife is also going to come. So both boys, both of the Purcell boys and their wives are going to bring their dad. Ruth Ann, his wife, passed away several years ago. And so, of course, she's not going to be here. He remarried and then she passed away. And so he's by himself now. But he was so excited. And so I wanted to let you know about that. And I think we'll have a sweet time, a special time tonight. And so many of you, I told him, so many people in the church know your name. And they've heard the story. And they've never met you. So I want to take care of that. And so anyway, I thought I'd let you know about that. Me and Cheryl had a wonderful time. Thank you for praying for us. Snuck out of here. Looked at our schedule and said, if we don't take off this week, I don't know when we're getting out of here. And so took a little bit of a trip. And thank you for everybody that covered for us behind the scenes and drove to Massachusetts and back. I know. Why would you go to Massachusetts? Because there's a town called Brimfield. Three times a year, the entire town turns into a gigantic antique flea market. I mean, the entire town. I know for some of you gals, it's like my wife's idea of heaven on earth. And if someone said, do you buy a lot of stuff? Well, she bought a couple things, but didn't really buy much, just mostly poked around and looked at all the things we played with as kids. And if we'd have just taken care of them, we would be millionaires right now. But no, we destroyed everything that we ever had. So, but anyway, we took our time driving out there, spent a couple days, took our time driving back, and got away and came back. Got home about 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon. I was home for 4 hours, drove 4.5 hours to Quincy, Illinois, preached a youth rally yesterday, drove 4.5 hours back. So yeah, just right back into the saddle. Here we go. Sunday, I love it. I love it. But it was nice to have a quick break. And good to be back. All right, let's talk about this. You know, what's our life? It's a vapor that appeared for a short time, a little while. Okay, think about that. Now, if you're under 30, you probably don't believe that. If you're over 30, I don't have to convince you of it. Something about a time you hit about 30. Matter of fact, Gerald, a couple years ago, turned 35. And when he turned 35, you know, being the father-in-law, I texted him and said, congratulations, you're half dead. I know, the Ross family has a morbid sense of humor, I know. So, and it's a son-in-law, you know. And you hit that 35 mark, and you're thinking 3 score and 10. People don't like talking about this. I don't have a problem talking about it. I mean this. I mean, you know, do you think you were going to live forever? You're not paying attention? You know why people, young people, are spending their weekends drugged out of their mind and doped out of their mind and chasing every pleasure. They're filling their life up with any distraction that keeps them from realizing you're not going to be here forever. Okay, you know why people hardly want to attend funerals anymore? It's embarrassing to go preach a funeral nowadays and see how little people are interested. It's like they don't want to face it. They want to just pretend it's not going to happen. Okay, I know I'm cheering you up today. This is wonderful. I came back from vacation. We're all dying. All right? Guess what? We're all dying. All right? It's true. I mean, this is the way it's set up. Now, you think of, again, what humanism is teaching a bunch of young people growing up. It doesn't take them very long to figure out. Life's going pretty quick, you know, and it doesn't take long, you know, to hit that halfway point. Come on, most of us, a lot of us in this room, we know the math. We can figure out there's more behind us than there is in front of us. And, you know, if all I had, I mean, if this was it, I think about the time I'd hit 50, 55 and say, wait a minute, this is a ripoff. Yeah. What? Are you kidding me? I mean, this is it? Is, you know, you're born and then all of a sudden, this is it, you know? And that's what a lot of people are coming to. That's why you're seeing, you know, I always talk about the suicide rate amongst teenagers, the suicide rate amongst 20-somethings is going up. And that's the direct result of humanistic teaching. Direct result of humanistic teaching. Also, it's the direct result of government stealing from people a purpose for life and a purpose for living. You know, where are the suicide rates the highest? Come on, we can go find them. Inner city, where people aren't required to do anything. They just handed a check. They have no purpose. That seems like a good deal. It's amazing how many people think that's a good deal. Go visit them. They live in despair. We weren't created to do nothing. You know, it's nice to have a week off every once in a while. Everybody in here can say amen to that. After about a week and a half, you know, I want to do something. Honestly, I want to get back in the office. I want to get to work. I'm happiest when I'm in the normal schedule of my life. And you know why? Because God created us to accomplish something. If you're accomplishing nothing with your life, then you know what? You're going to go to despair pretty quickly. So we have to look at that and say, hey, our life is short. Okay, the second hand never stops. Old man time is undefeated. Sometimes I just stare at a clock and watch the second hand and think, you know what? Every second that ticks away, it's gone. You can't put it in the bank like money and then withdraw it later on when you want to use it. You either use it as it comes or you lose it. It's just the way life is. Okay, God designed it that way. As a person lives his life, it becomes increasingly aware he won't be here forever. Every human body has an expiration date. Boy, I feel like I brought so much cheerfulness back. Death is inevitable. Okay, secular humanism. Now, if I'm a humanist, I think, good night. You mean this is it? I mean, if this is it, you know, YOLO, you only live once. By the way, that's a lie of the devil. There's life and there's eternal life. Okay, and then if you're lost, there's death and a second death. Okay, but everybody's going to be somewhere for all eternity. So you got to stop and think about this. I view life differently because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure's laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And so I don't despair over these things. I enjoy the process. I look forward to every single phase of life. To me, when I turned 60, it was fascinating to me. And I talked to a lot of different people that are in their 70s. And you know that I've researched the decades. I started doing this way back before I turned 30. And Jay Reed and Tony Wood, they always give me a hard time. Ross researches every decade of life and knows, well, you know what? I want to know what to expect. I want to talk to people that have lived it. I want to say, tell me the best parts about it. Tell me the pitfalls. Tell me the things you have to be careful of. I mean, what happens physically, and I know that changes, and it's not everybody's the same, but you talk to enough people and there's some consistencies. You know, we're a triune being. How do you guard your reborn spirit? What about your Christian life? What about your soul, your mind, body, spirit, your mind and body and will? And how does that aging process affect that? And you know what? Then I turn 60 and I'm not in dread. I'm excited. You know, I love the idea that I see Mrs. Alley here, and God bless you, Mrs. Alley. I'm so glad that her coming to church has just blessed my heart. And I know you can't always be here, but when you can be, it is a blessing. By the way, pray for Sister Anna Sinders. Had a really tough last couple days, and she just has. And I appreciate Justin Daffron. He went over last night and checked on her. And Becky's going after a church and checking on her. And me and Cheryl will check. But I don't think anything to get overly concerned about. She's just going through a tough time, you know. But needs our prayers right now. But you know what? This entire thing, I love, this is going to sound crazy. I'm excited that in many ways, okay, when you're born, you grow in strength for a certain period of time. And then you diminish in strength. But as you do, you discover more and more the importance of God's strength, of God's help. You know, the glory of a young man is his strength, but the crown of the old man is his gray hair. And you know, you understand the importance of wisdom, okay, of slowing down, of managing life, of re-examining priorities. Hey, you know, don't get mad at me, but you know what? When I look and do the math, I know I've got a certain amount of time left. Forgive me if I want to invest it in stuff that's pretty important. Okay? Forgive me if I'm not just as real excited and spend a lot of time in frivolous nonsense. If my patience level on that really starts shrinking. If you want to do it, go ahead. But I'm just saying, I think it's a good thing. When we understand we're just here for a short time, a little time. So let's make it count. Let's invest in things that matter, that's important, you know. And so that verse. Now let me go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to show you three verses today, and then we'll get into maybe a little deeper next week. But temporary or eternal, which is it? Okay, is this all there is? Am I supposed to believe the humanistic teachings? Am I supposed to believe the atheist? Am I supposed to buy into this idea that this is the only thing that there is? By the way, if I really believe that, you know what? You say, well, nobody wants to go to work anymore. Well, why should they? If they really bought into this philosophy that I only got this short amount of time, why wouldn't I want to do everything I could just to live in pleasure? Okay, I mean, think about it. They look at disdain at grandma and grandpa who worked hard their whole life and then retired and just had a few years of rest and recreation and then passed off. And they're saying it out loud. 20-somethings are saying it out loud. I wouldn't want to live my life like that. Why not let government take care of me? Why not get every freebie I can? Why not just, you know, enjoy everything I can enjoy? Why not break through the boundaries that the Bible wants to place on my morality and experience everything I can experience? Because when I quit breathing, I'm just going to dust. No God, no judgment seat, no eternity, no consequences. You know, this is what's starting to form their rationale, is they're buying into humanistic teachings. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 19. Think about this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Most of you recognize that this chapter is written in defense of the doctrine of the resurrection. There were some people saying there was no resurrection. That yes, you could accept Christ and even be a Christian in this life, but when you died, you would not rise from the dead. You would not have eternal life. And of course, that goes against everything that the Bible stands for. And God led Paul to emphatically challenge that in this chapter. Because you know what? If we buy into that mindset, all of a sudden there's a lot of dominoes that start falling over. And we're watching that in society. How about Psalms 90, verse 10? I'm establishing some things. Psalms 90, verse 10. Only one life, so soon it is past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Psalms 90, verse 10. The Bible gives us some more instructions, some things that we need to understand so that we can walk into life and plan our life. I mean, folks, I don't want this ultimately to discourage you, but I think it ought to make you step back and say, hey, you know what? If the Bible's true and It's life's a vapor. It appears for a short time, vanisheth away. And you know what? If we only had hope in this life, that's all we had, we'd be most miserable. So I'm not buying into that philosophy. And then Psalms 90, verse number 10 says, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Some glad morning, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Now think about that, okay? In America, we're blessed with medical advantages. Think about this. Clean water, healthy food, heightened awareness of the importance of physical fitness. You see, a lot of young people, because they only believe that this is the only thing they have, they've gone really into the idea of keeping themselves in shape, eating a certain way, and exercising. Why? Because they're trying to just buy a few more years. If I could just go a few more years. And that's become ultra important. And I'm all for taking care of yourself. But I got a whole different reason for doing it. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? That ought to be our motivation for taking care. You know, I don't want my effectiveness for Christ to have been cut short the last 10 or 15 years of my life just because I didn't take good care of the temple of the Lord. And some things are unavoidable, we all know that, but some things we can contribute to. And so I got a different reason for it, okay? But it's interesting, okay? Even in America, you know what? We have a life expectancy that's maybe and is higher than the global numbers just because of some of the advantages we have. Watch this. In 2019, the average American had an average life expectancy of 78.9 years. Isn't that interesting? God said 80 years, and if by reason of strength 80, and isn't it interesting that with all the things we've done, and I know there's people that live longer than 80, but the average still life expectancy in America is 78.9 years. We haven't bust through the 80-year mark as far as on average. Now that's interesting, okay? By the way, the last 2 years, numbers are just now coming out. I just read an article on this. Because of the effects of the COVID policies. I didn't say because of the effects of COVID. I said because of the effects of the COVID policies. Do you know that in the last 2 years, our life expectancy in America has decreased by almost 2 years? You say, how did that happen? Oh, because COVID killed everybody. Well, heart attacks were down. Almost no existent. Cancer disappeared. I'm not going to argue the numbers with you. I could, and I'd win. Okay? You know what really shortened it? Despair. Hopelessness. Children not being able to go in. Grown children not being able to go in and sit by their mother in a nursing home. Despair, just giving up. I'm going to tell you, we are going to stand before God. The people that pass policies in this country are going to stand and answer to God for what they did to the older generation over the last 2 years.
Amen. That's right.
So, all right, sidebar there. But 2 years, that means instead of 78.9, there's been a 2-year adjustment, so it just went down to 76.9. And you know what? If we don't start recognizing God, and we don't get people in office that are going to make decisions based on what's best for the American people, you're going to see that keep going down. Listen, you know what this whole abortion thing has proven to everybody? Life means nothing to these people. They will become rabidly hysterical if you dare threaten their right to slaughter 1.5 million unborn babies this year. They'll burn buildings. Come on. They'll attack churches. They'll attack Christians. And so, you know, that life doesn't mean anything. Propagating their mindset. Listen, folks, say, these people, what's wrong with them? Let's pull the curtain back. Who's behind a curtain? Who's a liar from the beginning? And who's a murderer? Okay, we get mad at the people, but they're not the enemy. That they're just in the throes of, I believe, demonic control. And
yes,
that's not an overstatement to say there are people in positions of great power in our country that are demonically controlled.
Yes, sir. Right.
And so they're passing policies that a liar and a liar and a murderer. Think about that. That's what identified the devil. You know what? Listen to them. They will stand in front of a microphone and lie. Bold-faced lie. Every day stand there and bold-faced lie and then look at you as if, how dare you question my lie?
Right.
I mean, when people have the facts right in front of them and know what they think nothing of lying, and they certainly think nothing of murder.
Right.
Okay? You realize the money. By the way, the root of all evil is the love of money, right? The love of money is the root of all evil. I always say, follow the dollar. Why did they not care that our aged, which ought to be one of our most protected groups, why did they not care? Okay? Do you realize every single person over 65 that passed away, that's one less Social Security check they had to write? They're more interested. This drives me crazy. You work your entire life paying to Social Security. Now explain this to me, by the way. If you spend your entire life and pay into Social Security and you die at 64, you know, I know you can take it at 62, but you choose to wait, but you die at 64, where's that money go? You paid into it. Does that go to your family? Does it go to your wife? Who gets it? It's being funneled over to the welfare system. Social Security money that's been paid in is being routed over to take care of people that even shouldn't even lawfully be in our country right now. That's criminal. That is criminal. The things that we've just, I don't know, I shouldn't go down that rabbit hole, but amen. But you know, this is the reality. Okay, so, you know, is this a temporary thing? I mean, folks, if this is a temporary thing, why are you wasting time coming to church? You should take the day and just go have fun, do something. I mean, if it's a temporary thing, you've only got so many days, so many hours, what are you doing? What are you doing coming back on Sunday night? Think of the things you could do with that. If this is all you have, see how it begins to affect the thinking? I mean, you know, I'm at 6:30 this morning, pulling up to the four-way flashers, and as I'm pulling up, heading to the church house, real nice truck pulls in front of me, got to the stop sign first, pulling really, really nice bass boat, and I doubt if he's heading to God's house. I kind of doubt it. Okay, but why should he? If I stopped and interviewed that guy, and if he bought into even a level of the humanistic thinking, why should he? You know why it's harder and harder? Folks, listen, we put as much work into and have in the last several weeks, we've put in as much work as we ever have in trying to get people to come to church. Why is it that even things that we did, promotions we had, you know, incentives we've given, why 10, 15 years ago, we would have 40 adults visiting the church and we'll do the exact same thing and we may have four? I don't believe it's because y'all aren't working as hard as the group that worked 20, 30 years ago. But you got to understand, humanism, this is so dangerous. Because people that buy into humanistic teachings, when I knock on the door, even 25, 30 years ago, and even some less than that, and begin to talk to God about God, there was, if they weren't in church, there was a sense of guilt.
Right.
Now they look at you up and down like you're something that the dog dragged on the front, onto their front step. They sit there and view you as ignorant, as stupid for wasting your time. You know, where does that come from? What changed that? Okay, 20 years ago, that adult that I'm talking to was in the public school system and they were being indoctrinated against this book and against the existence of God. This is the facts. Okay, so I've got to ask myself, I can't control the world. And you can't control the world, but you've got to ask yourself, do I really believe in life after death? Do I really believe there is an eternity that waits not only me, but my children and every other person in my life? Is this temporary or is this eternal? And what you really believe, okay, difference between here and here, okay, what you really believe will change what you do. Okay, your belief system is important. Okay, do you really believe, if you really believe that this was all there was, you're not going to be motivated to do the things that really matter. Well, I didn't take time to do this. I didn't take time. I'm going to die with all these regrets. Why? I'm going to have a 1,000-year millennial reign to enjoy everything on earth. Reign and rule with Jesus for 1,000 years. That's more. 1,310. I think 1,000 wins. And then an eternity after that. And so people that don't understand, well, preacher, you need to take more time for this. And I keep having young preachers come to me. And I said this the other day, Brother Ross, you know, you seem like you're awful busy. You need to slow down a little bit. And I say, maybe you need to speed up a little. And I think even guys in ministry, Brother Samuel, in your age and a little bit older, are being so affected by humanistic thinking that when they meet a young man like this that's willing to just show up and give it all, you can even be questioned by Christian people. And they start talking about this balance in life. And, you know, you go through a hiring process that some of the preachers are going through. And they're going to, I'm talking about interviewing young people coming out of good independent fundamental Baptist Bible colleges. And what the young person wants to know is, well, how many hours and how much free time? And I really have this hobby, and am I going to be available to do this? And I want to do this. And it's almost like, yeah, I want to be in ministry as long as it fits into the rest of my life. And my age, excuse me, but we have a problem with that. And I have people tell me, well, that's just the new generation. Well, just because it is don't mean I have to surrender to it. Okay, but that's a result of humanistic Christianity, a hybrid, where I begin to just want to ask them, do you really believe in eternity? No, do you really believe it? I don't mean that you put the right answer on the paper when you were in Bible doctrines class. Do you really believe in eternity? You know, and you know, your preacher's not against you having hobbies and having some away time. And you know I'm not. I think we live a fairly balanced life. But I want to say this. You know what? If we are unbalanced, we're going to be unbalanced on the side of serving God. Because we believe it. We really, really believe it. So think about that. So is this life all there is? This is a question we have to ask. Are we temporary or are we eternal? You know, settling that question will have a huge bearing on how you live your life. And it will have an even larger impact on the state of your mental health. That's a good place to stop. And we'll pick up there next week. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and how it helps us. Because, Lord, we have the devil. He set up an entire different way of thinking. A satanic philosophy that most of Americans have bought into. And so, Lord, help us to be careful that we aren't lured in, drug into this. Help us, Lord, to continue to do the best that we can do with your help, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.